touch my heart and change my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me.
His presence.
We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Christ the Lord. Let's worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. We'll worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lift up holy hands, just magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. We'll worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house, magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name. We'll worship Christ our Lord. Let's worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, just concentrate. straight on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Let's worship Him.
Just forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Just concentrate on Him. Christ our Lord. Oh, let's just worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Is that what you came to do? Amen. Well, this is the part I hate about revivals, the last service. It's just sad to see it come to an end. We've had such a wonderful time in the Lord, but there's more tonight. Amen. So we've really felt the presence of the Lord. I believe the Lord's done some wonderful things in these meetings, and appreciate Brother David and Brother West coming our way and their families and to be with us, and appreciate most of all the presence of the Lord, and good to have all of you with us tonight, all the home folks and the visitors as well. And I was going to pray for Brother Barry because he hadn't been feeling good. I had a note to remember to pray for him tonight, but good to see him feeling better. Good to have you with us, Brother Barry. And Sister Patty Hansel, I guess she was jogging today or earlier yesterday and was actually struck by a vehicle. And there's no broken bones or anything, but she's very bruised up from that. So she requested prayer in that regard, that the Lord will just touch her and heal her. And then Sister Melissa Savare, she's not feeling well this evening, so we want to remember her in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Joe, would you come tonight and just lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer over these requests tonight?
Let's just bow our heads. Dear Lord, Lord, we're so thankful to be gathered here tonight, Father. Oh God, we just love you so much. Our hearts just warmed, Lord, by the revival. Lord, by the services we've had, Lord. And we know that a true revival, Lord, is coming back to the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that we've heard and for sending these brothers, Lord, and putting it on their hearts, dear God, to minister to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blessings, Lord, that we've received. Lord, we're expecting tonight more from you, Lord. God, we just pray for these requests, Lord, the many ones, the sister, Lord, that got hit by the car. Oh, Father, we know that you are a healer, Lord. You can set the bones, Lord. You can perform a mighty work there, Father. Lord, we're expecting to hear the testimony of the healing, Father. Lord, we believe you, and not just a hope-so, Lord, but a know-so. Lord, that faith that you've given us, Lord, and that faith comes from hearing your word. Amen. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that every hand that was raised, Lord, you know the need behind it, Lord. Financial, spiritual. Lord, if it's relationship, husband and wife, whatever it might be, Lord, you have the answer, Father. Lord, we commit all these to you, Lord. We lay them at the altar, Lord, knowing, dear God, that you're ever faithful, Lord. How many times you've moved in my life, Lord. How many times when I've went up against an obstacle where I couldn't see no way around it or over it, but Lord, you made a way right through it, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. And by faith, Lord, we believe you, Lord. And we know, Father, that you'll meet every need. We pray, Father, for the speaker tonight, Lord, that you would anoint his lips, oh God. Help him to move out of the way, Lord, and just speak through him. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to every person in here, Lord, tonight. Lord, we need a touch from you. Oh God, in this dark hour that we live, Lord, we need more of you. I see the lighthouse the brother has on his tie, and I was just thinking about, oh God, how that you're that great lighthouse, oh Father. Shine that light. We're the lower lights, Lord. Help us to have our lamps trimmed and clear, Father. Lord, cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our minds, Lord. And let our hearts be upon thee tonight, Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. Ruth, have you got a special for us?
Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna.
Sister Christy and Sister Tina and Sister Stephanie and Sister Patty, I think, have a special for us at this time.
Do you know how it feels to know something's missing, to hear a small voice that you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died? Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, how your sins washed away, never to be remembered? And know that it's real, tell me, do you know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. And how does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night? And know that it's real, ain't it good to know how? Cold heart is melted, tears started flowing the moment you felt it. Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed, and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged? Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still get a feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? Everything. And how does it feel to know you are loved?
heaven is real and good. To know how it feels, how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. And how does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above?
Appreciate our specials tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Help me sing this. I've sang it too much for it to be a special. You all know it by now, so help me sing it tonight. And if this is a blessing or if it's a big mess, you can thank Brother Furman either way. No, actually, it's just the Lord. I had a song on my heart. For tonight, I'm just going to sing that and turn it over to Brother Wes. And Brother Furman sang it during the prayer line this morning, so I had to come up with something different. But I'm glad when the Lord works on both ends of the line like that, don't you? I think we've got 200 and something songs now in the song list that we kind of rotate through. And out of 200 and something songs, you'd be surprised how many times the Lord lays some of those songs on both of our hearts in the same service, or lays it on the musicians' hearts to play at the beginning of service. So God knows what He's doing, don't He? Oh, I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. Oh, but I'm not worried about that much. Lord, I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, reaping better than I've sown. Lord, I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. No, I ain't got a lot of riches. I know it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, we praise His name. The battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. Let's stand and sing it together tonight. Oh, I know it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I praise Your name. This battle is over. I know victory is won. It's already done. Are you sick tonight? You can sing it this way. Oh, I'm already healed. Oh, some of your family members, oh, they're already sealed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, my family is sealed. I praise Your name. This battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, why don't you apply the token tonight? Let's sing it that way again. Oh, yes, my family is sealed. Oh, Brother West comes tonight. Let's sing it this way together with all our hearts. Maybe you're facing a battle right now. Oh, but I shall overcome. Oh, hallelujah. I know I shall overcome. I'll praise His name. My battle, it's over. Oh, the victory is won. It's already done. Let's sing it that way again together. Oh, I shall overcome. We're more than conquerors. Oh, I know I shall overcome. I'll praise His name. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Oh, I know.
God bless you, saints. Just set up right, brother. Okay.
Sorry, I had to set up Brother David's
house. It's funny. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? He and I can walk perfectly together. But I guess we just have kind of a different step. is this thing set up right?
I think it's fine.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. I have a little trouble with this sometimes. I'm one of those people that doesn't melt in together too well with technology. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. While you're turning there, I'd like to do a little better greeting than I was able to do last night. I just want to give you greetings from Johnson City and the saints there, and Brother Donnie and everybody at Happy Valley, and just, you know, it's so refreshing to come up here. I was just thinking today, I'm here in the area where Brother Branham's ministry was, you know, propagated, where it went out from here, and I was just thinking, you know, he would be completely comfortable coming among this assembly. Amen. And sitting here. He'd be comfortable with you saints of like precious faith. He'd be comfortable with your pastor. He'd be comfortable with the way the Lord is honored here. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, even more important than that, I know that the Lord is comfortable.
Amen. With it.
And, you know, sometimes you just have to back up and look at something. And really think about what's being done, what's being accomplished with the work. And, you know, even an artist, when they're working, they don't stand right next to the canvas. They have to back away several feet away from the canvas and go back and forth, constantly checking back and forth. They have to step back and look. And I just thought from the perspective of stepping back and looking, this is like a dream come true. It really is. You're blessed people. Just to have each other and to have a place where you can gather together and hear the truth and have the word rightly divided and be in order and in harmony with the gospel and with the message. It's a rare thing. We're blessed in Johnson City, but you all are blessed here, I'll just tell you. And it's so good to come up here. And when I was outside talking to the saints, everybody has just got such a sweet spirit, such a kind, supportive Christian spirit. It means so much, you know, to a man of God. I mean, you really fight battles. You carry such a weight, and you fight such a battle because you look at God's people and you love them so much, and you think, Lord, what good can I do standing before these saints if you don't come on the scene and speak through me? What I can do nothing. I am nothing outside of you. And every time he comes, because he loves you all so much. So, you know, we talked about expectation last night. Let's bear down good and hard. And you all pull just as hard as you can. And I want you to know, every time I preach here, it gets easier and easier because you all make it easier. And it really is you doing your part. You taking your place in church order. You fulfilling God's word. Amen. I mean, you can be happy in knowing that. You can have joy in knowing that you tonight are fulfilling God's word by simply being here in your position, in your rightful place, pulling, believing, taking the faith that God put in you and putting it on the word and helping me, your servant, you know, by doing that, by pulling like that. It means everything. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Brother Branham said this in 1963. He said, let's notice in the days of Noah's day, God seen worldly wisdom so greatly punctuated and respected. Did you hear that? God seen worldly wisdom so greatly punctuated and respected. He sent a simple message by a simple person to show them his greatness. Amen. What a contrast. Right. Now we know that in the day of Noah, they claim that a civilization was so mighty then until we have never reached that spot yet in our modern civilization. And I believe it will finally be reached because our Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Let's bow our heads. Father, it is our greatest desire tonight to put ourselves open-hearted at your feet. To exalt you, to lift you up, to praise your name. Most of all, Lord, to earnestly contend to hear what you have to say. Lord, we need to know where we are in this hour. We need to know what time it is spiritually. We need to know how to conduct ourselves. There's so many things that we need, Lord. But you know specifically what we need tonight as individuals. And Lord, like that little boy who brought the basket with the fish and the loaves. Didn't seem like much, but you can break it. And you can feed each and every person, Lord, according to their need. And leave plenty left over on top of that. Lord, we trust you with that. We trust you to do that tonight. Because in ourselves, we're just not able. But Lord, we trust you to take this tonight and break this bread for your people. We ask you to add your blessing as you always do to your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Thank you. My wife had a friend a few years ago. She was an African-American sister that was friends with my wife from a job she used to have. And she had heard stories, you know, and different things to lead her to believe that we were close to God. And she desired to ask me a question. And she asked me why there was black people and why there was white people. It was a question that she had. She wanted to know, why was there different races of people on the earth? And I thought, boy, that's a good question. And when she hit me with it, the first thing I said is, well, we all go back to the ark. You know, so if we all go back to the ark, I'm really not sure. I'll have to study on it a little bit, and I'll have to get back to you on that. And she was sincerely interested. She was wondering about it. I told her, I said, do you claim Christ as your Savior? And she said, yes. And I said, well, based on that, I call you my sister. Right. I said, so really, I don't see, you know, I said, culturally, we may be different. Right. You may have been raised culturally different than me. Yes. You might be, you know, different in that way in your appearance and in your culture. But I said, other than that, I mean, we can be brothers and sisters. Yes. Now, I started to study this out, and One thing I found out is, you know, if you go back to Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, those three sons had many children each. And we know that that's where it had to start. We always think of going back to Adam and Eve. But if you think about it, when we come off of the ark, how did civilization spring from that? You're talking about, it, as far as human beings are concerned, you're talking about an empty earth. You're talking about one where there's no other people. So, you know, Shem, he had five sons: Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. Each of these sons represents a country, a group of people, a civilization of their own. As they spread out throughout the earth, these sons, they took their families and they went in different directions. Shem went to Asia. So the people of Asia, of the Asian countries, They're descendants of Shem for the most part. Okay, so you see the Persians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Lydians, the Syrians. You know, you go on into the modern day times, and you see China and Japan and Korea and everything. And you see the descendants of Ham, they went into Africa. You've got Cush, Mizraim, Put, Canaan. This is the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, the Canaanites, all these early civilizations that came from Ham and his lineage. And then you have Japheth, who was in Europe. Okay? You have Gomer, Magog, Javan, Medea, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. And these are, you know, the modern-day European countries. I'm not going to go into all the specific countries and everything like that and bore you with all those details. But if you look at these three brothers, even their names have meanings. Yes. Now, you would think that Ham, you know, would be, you know, all these names are descriptive. Ham had a son named had a grandson named Nimrod. You know what Nimrod means? It was a descriptive name. It meant dark-skinned hunter. These sons had different attributes. They had different things. Maybe you know, that's just the way God did it. And when these people went into these different countries, but we all go back to the flood. Yes. We all go back to the time that we stepped off the ark, every one of us. Amen. I read a scientific report recently where they said that they studied the DNA of people, and they had every single human being on earth traced back to one common female ancestor. I thought, well, that's funny. We already knew that. They said they couldn't narrow it down, though, to one man. I'm just telling you what they said. You take that however you want to. Now, as a young man, when I was disillusioned with the church I grew up in, it was a liberal church. My mother told me one time that church would have never survived if it hadn't been for the women, because the men of the church, for the most part, were home on Sunday, laying on the couch, watching football and drinking beer. And they felt justified in doing that because they sent their wife and kids to church. They'd show up once a month, maybe to do God a favor, be there at Christmas and Easter for the plays that the kids put on. And they were doing God a favor, and they were good American men. They felt really good about themselves being that way. They didn't have a problem with it at all. They felt no conviction about it. Now, you can't really blame them so much, because the preaching is what allowed them to do it. And ministers allowed them to do it. At that church, when my mother was a young girl, a preacher came through, and he was preaching the true gospel. And he started preaching Jezebel religion. Not necessarily by that title, but that type of sermon. And the people got up and ran him out of the church. They said, "You're not going to talk to our women like that. You're not going to tell them that they can't cut their hair. You're not going to tell them that they can't put makeup on." They said, "Any old barn is improved with a coat of paint." I would expect my wife to slap the taste out of my mouth if I called her an old barn. I couldn't even get mad about that. Now, when I was disillusioned with this church, and I felt no spiritual strength there at all, I felt more spiritual strength when I'd go to church camp as a child. And that was much, much different than Louisiana church camp, I'll promise you that. It was much different. I'll remember one thing about church camp that they did, and this is going to blow your mind. They'd do a little chant when you'd go to lunch. They'd say, "Round the room, you must go, you must go, you must go. Round the room, you must go." And they'd say two names, a boy and a girl. And then you'd get up and you'd hold her hand and you'd start skipping around the room. And they'd say, "You must kiss her at the end, at the end, at the end." And when you got to the end, you kissed her. And you went back to your seat. And I'm talking about, you kissed her right on the mouth. At church camp. Now, you young people that are listening to this, if you're saying, "Boy, I wish our church camp was like that," I expect that we have an appointment right here at the end of the night. But after being disillusioned, after finding out that my spiritual advisor, my pastor, my Sunday school teachers, my own parents could not tell me how to deal with the dark spirits that were coming against me as a teenager, I went through a time that to this day is hard to speak about, brother, where actual demon powers came against me and fear struck me and I didn't know what to do about it. And I would lay in my room awake at night, and I could, whether it was my imagination or not, I don't know at this point looking back on it, but I could see them. I could hear them, I could feel them brushing against me. And I was terrified. I'd go for days without sleeping. I'd wake my parents up in the middle of the night and ask them to help me, and they didn't know what to do. They thought I was losing my mind. I heard a radio preacher saying, "There's power in the name of Jesus." Amen. So I started saying, "Get out of my room in the name of Jesus. Get out of my room in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone in the name of Jesus." I just kept doing it over and over again. Night after night, I would fight it back. And I eventually found peace. Amen. This was a period of time, maybe over 2 or 3 months in my teenage years that I went through. I didn't understand what was going on. I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown of some kind. I thought I was crazy myself. And I didn't know what was happening, and I didn't know. But looking back now, I know the Lord was teaching me. He was teaching me warfare. He was teaching me to trust Him. Now, I'd like to say from that point on, I rocketed into faith. But I didn't, because I didn't understand what was happening to me. So, when I went to college, by the way, my birthday fell. I graduated early. I was 17 when I went to live in Atlanta by myself. And I went to art school down there. And I started looking into other religions. Ate with the Hare Krishnas. Studied the Hindu religion. Studied Buddhism. Studied Satanism. Studied witchcraft. Studied all kinds of things. Looked into all these things. Because I thought, if there is a supernatural, then that proves there is a God. And I want to know if there really is a God. I want to know if this stuff is true or if it's not true. I want to know what's right. And I want to know how to contact him. If he's real, I want to know him. And I want to know everything there is to know about him. And if he is real and there is a heaven, that's where I want to go. And in a sense, I was kind of trying to push him into revealing himself to me because I didn't know how else to do it. I didn't know how to find him. And I found out something interesting. We're coming back around now to where we started tonight. Found out something interesting. There is not one major religion in the world. There's not one major religion in the world that does not have a flood story. There is not one major religion in the world that did not start with animal sacrifice. Even the ones who pray over the bugs they accidentally stepped on today at the end of the evening, you know, before they go to bed, that are vegetarians, that wouldn't kill or eat meat at all. Even they started with animal sacrifice. And I began to look at this and I thought, why is the world so blind? We all came from that ark. We all stepped off that ark in one way or another. Scientists also proved that you can go, let's say you're a white American, you can go to the heart of Africa and find a Bushman that has never laid eyes on a white person in his life. And he is at least your 52nd cousin. You have common ancestry. You say, well, what's the point you're trying to make, Wes? I just want you to have confidence. I want you to believe that this was not a fairy tale. In the last days, we're going to be turning to fables, the Bible says. This is not one of them. Amen. This is not a parable. The story of Noah and the ark is not a parable. It's not a story to teach us a little lesson. It actually occurred. It actually happened. It took place. It was real.
Yes.
Noah was a real man, a righteous man. The Bible says about Noah, Noah found grace. It says, well, we'll go back to verse 7, chapter 6 in Genesis. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God wanted to turn away from the very creation of his own hands. He wanted to turn away from it because it becomes so horrible. But Noah found grace. I love it. Last night, if was our big word. Tonight, but. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm so thankful that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm so grateful that there was a righteous man who stood in his day when no one else would stand. There was a righteous man in his family who stood in that day, who believed, who still honored God. If it hadn't been for this righteous man, I don't even know that. How would the story have gone after that? I know we're predestinated. I know everything. But God had determined in his heart to wipe it all out. We would have come another way, I guess. We would have just come another way. But Noah found grace in God's eyes. And to me, that was a huge thing. You know, you go... The Sumerian text, Babylonian, Gilgamesh, Islamic view, classical antiquity, ancient Greek, medieval Europe, Irish writings of antiquity, the Welsh, the Norse, the Finnish, Africa, the six biggest tribes and cultures, India, China, Korea, Malaysia, Takeda, 10 different cultures has 10 different cultures with the same character that represents Noah to a T, the Philippines, Polynesia, and Hawaii, the Americas, North America, tribes from the Inuit people at the pole to the Hopi, Mesoamerica, South America, Canary, Inca, Mapuche, the Misca, and the Tupi. All are, this isn't all of them, but this is the list. These people all have the same story in common. They all go back. So what happened? You're sitting there and you might be thinking, well, Brother Wes, we know, we believe, we're believers. Remember, you're not preaching to unbelievers tonight. I know that. But let's go on just a little bit further. In trying to do God a service without being in the will of God, Brother Branham says, but you see, when you start wrong, you'll keep on going wrong. If a bullet is supposed to be directed to a target and you jerk the barrel 1,000th off here to begin with, at 100 yards, you're 4 or 5 inches off. You start wrong. Oh, God, help us to know this thing has started wrong. This great crusade of the hour and their so-called God is not consulted about it. Priests and religious men is consulted. Organizations is consulted. Well, you have such and such. I believe if we could get everybody together. Don't get everybody together. Just get God's word about it.
Amen.
Brother Siler said today that the message broke down barriers.
Amen.
The true message does do that.
Yes.
It breaks down the denominational barriers. The denominations now are coming together and they're saying we need to come together. We need to do it. But they're saying it's okay to leave the barriers and come together. They're saying, you believe what you believe, I'll believe what I believe, but let's still come together. Let's all come together and have one headship that'll be like a referee between us all. They want the Pope, of course. But this is the thing, see. When Noah stepped off of that ark, everybody was together.
Yes.
Now, how did it happen? These three men, they went out into the world and they had children. They brought their wives on the ark. They went out and they had children. And it kept going from there. It snowballed down through until you see the population that's before us now. Even with millions and millions and millions who've been killed in wars, look at the population of the earth now. Look at where we've come. All of them came from Grandpa Noah. All of them came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Everybody that walks the earth today came from one of these lineages. So they started out with animal sacrifice. They started out with holiness. They started out with the story of the ark. They started out with the stories telling their children. They went out and they got busy populating the earth, building cities, bringing everything about that you see before you today. They went out and they got busy. But there was still an influence there.
Yes.
From the very beginning, there was an influence. Back here, at the back sight of the gun, where everything's good and straight, Satan was trying to move that just a little bit, starting way back there. You know the story of the Tower of Babel and how God had to split everything up, how he had to split the languages up, and we went in. And when there is a split in the languages, there is misunderstanding. That divided the children of these brothers. It divided them because of their physical appearance. It divided them because of their tongue. They went their separate ways. They divided and they went into different parts of the earth. They got away from each other. They got so far divided that they didn't even recognize each other after years of being apart. You could take in the, you know, my grandmother, I don't know how old she was before she ever saw somebody that was from China. But it was so strange to her. I remember her telling me the story of how strange it was to see somebody from China. I had a babysitter when I was growing up. She was a German lady. And when she came and moved to America as a small child, she was on the train. And there was a black man sitting across from her. And she had been told when she was a small child that the devil was a black man. And this black man was sitting there and it terrified her. And she told me this story about this. Looking back at that story right now, I'm thinking, that was your cousin.
Right.
That was your cousin.
Amen.
You got the same granddaddy.
Yeah.
What are you worried about? You got the same thing. But see, here's the whole sidestep now. The other part of the story. Satan's influence.
Yes.
Satan's influence. God slowed it down by splitting the languages. Right. But Satan's influence was set up. His kingdom was already started. It was already gone. Satan's influence had begun. And it was trying to move us slowly from where we were with God to where he wanted us to be. And it was a slow, methodical process. He doesn't want it to happen fast. He knew that he had to set up a governmental type rule. He's not like God. He can't be everywhere at once. So he has to set up a kingdom on this earth. He has to have different levels of management. He has to set things in order, kind of like you would in a big business. And that's how he did it. Now let's go back. Brother Branham said, 100 years ago, if somebody had, walked down the street the way they dress now, they would have thrown him in jail, right? I mean, I asked a woman when they kicked me out of the Baptist church just a few weeks before they asked me to leave. I asked this woman, I said, I was thinking about what Brother Branham said, and I said, when you were a little girl, did the women in the church wear pants and makeup? She said, oh, no. And I said, why not? Oh, they preached against that. And I said, well, did they start out wrong or are they finishing wrong? And she looked like I threw cold water in her face. Now, this was a woman who I loved and respected very much, an elderly woman in our church. And I was sincere when I was asking her because I didn't know if they had started that way at that church or not, and she'd gone there. When I preached, I actually preached three sermons in one when I preached after I came into the message to the Baptist church. They got Jezebel, religion, serpent seed, and water baptism all in one sermon. And my poor wife, I see her. she was there. You could hear a pin drop. But, it wouldn't have been so strange. But there was an 85-year-old woman who had been there since the church started, sitting on the front row. She came up to me after the service and she said, Wes, that was the best sermon I've ever heard in my entire life. And I said, you've been here since this church started. I said, are you just being nice? And she said, I'm telling you, that is the best sermon I've ever heard in my entire life. I've been here since I was born. And she said, I've never heard one like that. There are people out there that need the truth, that will listen to the truth, that will accept the truth if you've got the guts to share your testimony with them. Now, what Satan did was he set up his kingdom and he said, okay, the first thing we have to do is we have to get into government. Government was a big power. So he had to get into government. He had to get into every aspect of life. And we see it working. Our brothers and sisters have run from governments for years and years and years. That's why this country was founded. They were brothers and sisters running from the government. Because Satan had influence in the government. The Catholic Church, they when I went to Japan, Brother Sacker told me, he said, now when we come in, they're going to ask you why you're here. You're here to visit friends. If you tell them you're a missionary, they're going to think you're Catholic. And I said, oh, so are they like the communist countries? They're against Christians? And he said, no. He said, they're against Catholics. He said, Catholicism is seen of as a government. They come in, they get converts, they get those converts elected to office, and then those converts start doing what the Pope tells them to do. And they look at it as an infiltration, as an attack from a foreign government. That's how they view the Vatican. And that opened up a whole world to me because then I saw, that's one of the ways that Satan does it. That's one of the ways that he infiltrates and he does it. But what about you, brother? Where are you right now?
Physically.
Where are you? No, metaphysically. where are you at right now? Can you ask yourself? Can you ask yourself who you are? When you look in the mirror, who do you see? What are you a product of?
Yes.
What has been done to you? What have you been made into? What have you been influenced into? How different would you be if you were never influenced by Satan's kingdom? How different would you look? When the body change comes, how much are you going to change? If a representation of you after the body change was right next to you right now, what would we see? Now we know that for us older ones, the wrinkles and gray hair would be gone. That part's great. All right, let's go a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper than that. With sin, with the scars, with the trappings of Satan's kingdom, of Satan's Eden, completely separated from us, where would we be? When I was a kid, TV was one of those things. It was a central part of life. A lot of you have not been raised with TVs in your homes, so you may not know what I'm talking about. And I praise God for that. That was one of the things that was so beautiful about the message for me, was that the influence was not there that I grew up with. There were shows on TV that told you what was normal. They taught you that it was normal to go with any girl you could go with. They taught you that it was normal to get a girl and take her out on a date and go to Blueberry Hill and make out with her. And that was normal. And if you didn't do that, guess what? You weren't normal. There was something wrong with you. You were an oddball. You were weird. It taught you that lesson. It started way back before that, though, because Satan said, "We have got to destroy the head. We have got to destroy headship." Because Satan said, "This is my kingdom. I don't want that man to be head of his family. I don't want his family to respect him. I don't want them to look at him as the head of their home, who contains knowledge and wisdom, who guides them spiritually, who prays with them, who teaches them the articles of faith. I don't want him to be an influence. I've got to destroy that man. I've got to destroy that head. Now, how am I going to do it? As Satan, he could only do it one at a time. Head to head, he could only go after one man at a time. But as a system, oh my. Oh, let's get the system going. Let's get a system to destroy headship. That's one. We're just going to go with this one for a minute. We're just going to go with this one because look at how it affected the church I grew up in. There was no godly headship. No real godly headship. There was good people with good intentions. But there was no godly headship that would stick with this word. They were not being conformed to the image of Christ. They were being conformed to the image of Nice. Right.
Come on.
It's a sad, sad thing. It was so far off by the time Brother Branham came on the scene. Think about that. TV had just really gotten started. He was talking about I Love Lucy, which, by the way, was one of the first major shows that just killed the authority of Dad. Right. You got to make Dad into an idiot. He's got to be a big, dumb clown that doesn't know anything, and Mom has got to be the real head of the house. Dad will lay down the law, and Mom will throw a fit and get her way, and Dad will forget about the law, and everything will go okay once Mom gets her way. Now, sisters, if you feel like this is an attack on you, you're wrong. I do not have that kind of spirit. When I came to get baptized that night, the sisters had a great effect on me. They were godly. They came in. They did not look like they were trying to sell their body on the street. They had long hair, as the Bible said, for them to have, that is a protection against the powers. A lot of people think of it as some kind of, you know, thing that we make you do. I've been accused that we make you. People have told me, "You all make your women do that." I'm like, make them do what? It's like saying, you know, I mean, it protects them from the powers. That's what the scripture says. It's not just your glory. That part of it's great. It is your glory. But it protects you from the powers. You ever thought about that? The devil doesn't want you to think about that.
Amen.
He wants to change your image. He wants to take you as far away from the original as he can.
Yes.
So we look all the way back there at the ark. And we come all the way up here to today. And we're not going to look at this church, brother. We're not going to look at the message. We're not going to look at the Catholic Church or anything else. We're going to look at each of us as individuals. Because this body is a many-membered body. And we're going to look at us as individuals. Do you even know who you are? Do you know what you've been conformed to? Do you know what you believe? Have you been to the source? Have you been to the author? Have you gone to God yourself? You as an individual, shut out everybody else in this room. Shut every single person out. It's just you and God for a minute. Think of it like that. It's just you and God for just a minute. Nobody else is here. It's just you as an individual and God. Who are you? What are you? What have you been made into? What is the influence? What have you been conformed to? How are you being conformed right now? What is shaping your thoughts? What is shaping your idea of what and who you should be? What is influencing you? What is making you think the way you think? What is making you believe what you believe? What is it? If you're truly honest and you go straight face to face with God right now and you get down to the nitty gritty, what is it that really is influencing you? Satan does not want you to look in the mirror. And look into those eyes and see the real you. He doesn't want you to do that. He does not want you to do that. I remember the first time the Lord spoke to me. I was working in very harsh conditions. And we would take turns. It was like close to 120 degrees. And we were pulling wire in a powerhouse. The wire was 10 pounds a foot. It was this big around. It was horrible. It was terrible work. It was dreadful. You'd go in there and you'd go into the bathroom. Now, I'm not going to be crude. We were joking about this at lunch today, but I'm not going to be crude. But you'd go into the bathroom. It was the only air-conditioned room in the place. You'd put some paper towels down over the toilet seat, and you would sit down and take a 5 or 10 minute break and just rest and cool off so that you wouldn't pass out. Many of us woke up outside of that powerhouse. With people pulling our belt up and down, trying to get us to breathe again, trying to cool us off enough to where we could get up and walk around and go back for more. It was a hot and terrible job. And so I was feeling pretty sorry for myself. I was a big baby. I was feeling pretty sorry for myself. And I went in to read the Bible. The Lord had just started dealing with me. I wasn't in the message yet. But the Lord had just started really dealing with me. And I started reading about Philip finding Nathanael. And I'd just been asking God. I'd just been asking him if he even saw me, if he even knew who I was. I was outside praying. And I didn't know, does this big God even hear me? Does he even know who I am? Does he even see me? Does he even care? And I wanted to know. And I was thinking about that. And I went into that bathroom and I sat down and I flipped it over and started reading that story. And you all know the story. Philip goes and he finds Nathanael and he takes Nathanael to meet the Lord. And when he's walking up, the Lord says, oh, Nathanael, man of little guile. Hebrew indeed, you know. And he goes, where do I know you from? And he said, I saw you. Amen. Under that fig tree. Yes. Nathanael fell on his face. Started worshiping the Lord. And he said, that's all it took? That's all it took to convince you, to impress you? That's all it took? See, he also knew what Nathanael was thinking. He knew what he was praying about. So he said, greater things than this you'll see. And he took him to Jacob's ladder. He knew what he was praying about. He was seeking answers to the mysteries. And Jesus said, hey, I not only saw you under there, but I know what you were thinking. The God of this universe came down to that one little man. Yes. And said, I was there when you thought you were alone, when you thought God was too big to notice you, when you thought God was too big to care. I heard your prayer.
Amen.
I heard it. God loved Nathaniel so much to tell him that. Because just before that he had said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? In Acts 4:13, we read, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their identity was sealed in the fact that they could see Jesus in these men. In Acts 11:26, and when they had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were called Christians because they were Christ-like.
Yes, right.
They were Christ-like. This world doesn't even know what Christ is like. They don't know. When they call you a Christian, to them it's as denominational as Baptist or anything else. To them it doesn't mean anything. They don't know what Christ is. They don't know who Christ is. They don't understand. They don't know if you're being conformed to the image of Christ or not. They just think you're somebody to debate with about whether God exists or not. They don't understand. They don't get it. So what image have you been conformed to? Who are you? When I come up out of that restroom, my time was up. I read that and I realized that God had seen me when I was outside praying, asking him if he knew who I was. It all came home all at once. The scripture came alive for the first time to me. And I opened that stall door and I walked in and I looked at myself in the mirror and I looked and it was like I was seeing myself for the first time. And it was too overpowering for me to accept. I ran out of there and I was all excited and I didn't even know what I was excited about. I didn't know what had just struck. But I was looking back to the original.
Amen.
Brother Branham talked about those sights lining up.
Right.
He was talking about those sights lining up. From the time that they stepped off the ark until now, how far have we been pushed from the original lineup of what God intended for us to be? How far off are we? What is Satan doing to us? What is his plan right now? I watched the young people quite closely, and I noticed that many times they're glued to technology. They're glued to it. Brother Branham said that the technology of that time was greater than the time when he preached this. But he said it was going to he'd catch up. Remember, he said, He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He said, I believe it will finally be reached because the Lord said that. He said, I believe it will finally be reached.
Right.
How many, okay, let's do a little participation for just a second. How many of you all in this room right now, and this is going to blow your kids' minds, how many of you remember a time when there was no microwave ovens? No microwave ovens. Okay, now, put your hands down. How many of you all remember a time when there was no cell phones? Okay, that's good. How many remember a time when there was no internet? Wow, there's quite a few here. Now, you young people, can you even imagine what the world would be like without those things? Can you even imagine? All right, let's go a step further. Let's go back a little bit further. Who can remember a time when there was no automobiles? Anybody? No automobiles. No cars. No way. My grandmother remembered that time. I talked with her. I remember her telling me the story of when the first automobile came down in front of their house. And they all went out and they had to look under the hood to see what was in there. And they had to ask all these questions about how you fed it and what made it go. And the kids were asking the guy to take the motor apart so they could see what was inside of it. And they were scared because it might go so fast that it would kill them. because man had never gone that fast. And she was telling me these stories when I was just a little boy. My great-grandmother was telling me about this. She came from a time in the horse and buggy. Now, this has all been in about a 100-year span now. Now, where are we? When the Lord said, in our opening scripture, he said, where was that? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also was it in the days of Lot when they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Man, let's take ourselves back. Who here believes that had you been alive that day and you had known Noah, you would have ended up on that ark? How many of y'all believe that with all your heart? You know what? I believe you. You have to look. You have to look at what we are compared to what's out there in the world. You have to look at the peace that we find here. That's why this is such a wonderful work, brother, and this is why the devil's going to hate it and hate you and come against it. You all better be praying because this man's going to need it. Let's take ourselves back there for a minute. Let's just pretend for just a minute that the ark is sitting on the hill over here. Can you go with me? You want to take a little journey for just a minute? Can you go back with me just a minute? Just put yourself in that time. A time like we live in right now. See, all the movies and coloring books and storybooks and anything you want to see, they show a bunch of people in sandals with staffs and lots of animals around, and they're wearing bathrobes, and they look like they're a million miles from us. And they show them riding donkeys and everything else. But guess what? They lived in a time like us. I talked to a man who worked in a coal mine, and they were digging out coal. And they found a thing that looked like a computer keyboard. And it was all solid and together. And he said, that's all it could have been. But it wasn't like our computer keyboards. And it was embedded in coal under the earth about a half mile down. They took it to the owner, or took it to the people that were in charge. And they took it and put it in a crusher immediately and told them not to say a thing about it or they'd be fired. Now, why did they tell them that? Because archaeologists would have come in and shut the site down and started digging. And the coal mine would have been closed. And they had to keep going. I'm telling you, Brother Branham was not a liar. Our minds will hardly let us conceive of it because of all the garbage that's been put in front of these eyes. You know, we see some sweaty beggar-looking guy with a big staff in his hand and sandals on his feet stomping around in the dust trying to put an ark together. And it was more like somebody sitting next to you on the pew. We've got to get lined back up to understand what the Lord's telling us. Now, in that day, Noah preached. Now, he was a righteous man who found favor with God. He found grace in the eyes of God. So he believed in holiness. He preached holiness. He preached what Brother Branham preached. He preached what this man right here preaches. He preached what we believe. Correct? He was a man who was righteous. He found grace and favor in God's eyes. And God said, okay, I'm going to have you build an ark. And it's going to save you because I'm about to wipe everything out. But I see a little bit of you in me. I see a little bit of me in you. So God said, I'm going to hit the reset button. I'm going to start with you. Noah started building, and Noah started preaching. He preached the same thing for 120 years. Now, while he was preaching this message that he had, there was people who came to his church, wasn't there? Now, let's say you're out at Walmart one day before the flood, and you're going through Walmart with your buggy, and you run into Sister So-and-so. But you don't really recognize her at first. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, that's Sister So-and-so. I didn't hardly recognize her because she's cut her hair. And she's wearing pants and she's got a big tattoo going up her arm. And she gets mad and says, don't judge me. You're like, well, I wasn't judging you. I didn't mean to stare. At first I wasn't sure if it was you or not. She said, I was tired of that. I was tired of being controlled by that cult. I was tired of it. It's ridiculous. He's been preaching the same thing for years and nothing has happened. Am I going too slow? You go on down the aisle of Walmart and you go around and there's a bunch of kids there in their video game section. And they're looking at the video games. And you say, hey, kids, that stuff you're looking at's not godly. I mean, they may have some godly games, but that's not it. And they're not listening. They don't care. They don't want to hear what you got to say. One by one, you see the church members dropping off. Noah keeps building. Noah keeps working. Noah keeps preaching. Noah keeps sticking right with God. He stays with the vision. The crowd gathers to mock, to make fun. They use whatever means are at their disposal in that day, in that time, to try to ridicule Noah and his family. They try to beat him up. They try to accuse him. They call him all kinds of things. They give testimonies as to how they were saved from the Noah cult. The crazy old prophet up on the hill building his boat for water that doesn't even exist. They have to self-justify because if they don't self-justify, they have to admit that it's true. So they have to self-justify. They're tired of the holiness because the life of God's not in them, so they have fallen away. And God says, Noah, the day is here. Come into the ark. Noah, being the kind of head that God likes, led his family. Amen. He said, children, it's time. Boys, get your wives. The Lord's called us into the ark. And they go inside and they're sealed. Yes. They're sealed. They're sealed. Yes. Because they didn't turn away. Right. Because they held to the truth. They're sealed in to Christ, into the ark. They're sealed in to the Word for that day. And former Sister So-and-so walks out of Walmart and she feels something on her face. And she's like, what was that? And then the rain begins to fall. And the sense of dread hits. But it's too late. It's too late. We know him, don't we? We all know him. We know the ones outside of the ark. We don't despise them. We love them. We fear for them. We pray for them. We love them. We don't want them outside of the ark. But it's their choice. God gave us free will. Our free will wasn't designed to choose him. It was designed to walk away from him. We're predestinated. Our free will. That's when I finally understood predestination. When I understood it was my free will that took me away from God, not brought me to him. So we look back, and right now, for us to be Christ, to be a beacon, for us to have an influence before that day comes, there's still some outside that may have a chance to come in. For us to be that, we have to know who we are, though. We can't be riding along. We can't just be going along. On this journey, we have to be part of the journey. We have to be part of the journey. We cannot, you know, Brother Branham said the keystone of the Bible. Who knows what the keystone of the Bible is? Who else? Anybody? Who knows? The keystone of the Bible is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. The back sight, the front sight, and the target. He said that's the keystone of the Bible. Now, I'm not yelling and keeping you awake. So you're just going to have to want to hear it. You're just going to have to want to hear it. They looked at Moses and they didn't do this. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. There are people who are completely occupied with religiosity. They want to debate, they want to fight, they want to argue, they want to win their argument. They do not want to be conformed to the image of Christ, but what they want to do is browbeat you for not believing what they believe. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for our sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. This is the heart of the message that God brought through me this weekend. We've got to reject the religion. And we've got to go outside of the camp. And we've got to bear the reproach. We've got to bear the reproach. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. For we have no continuing city. You see, that's the thing. Right now, for us to stay lined up, for us to keep our sights lined up, for us to hit the target that we're aiming at, this is what we can't forget, that we don't have a continuing city here. We have no continuing city here. We catch ourselves worrying. If you're a young person, you're worrying about what you want to do next, what you want to obtain next. Maybe if you're at a certain age, you might be thinking about courtship or marriage. You know, if you're a young adult, you're thinking about a career, you're thinking about a car, thinking about a home. If you're an older person, you might be thinking about retirement. You might be thinking about how to get your health in better line. You might be thinking about how you can improve your lifestyle. But to what end? Because we have no continuing city here. What have we got? What have we got to build here? It's like a sandcastle in the tide. Work as hard as you want to, and you know, one turn of the tide, and it's going to be gone. So, what have we got to focus on right now? What is the issue right now? What is the thing right now? I know that if Brother Branham himself was to walk in here, he would be proud of what he sees. But what would he tell us to do from here on? Stay in line. Don't get out of line. Don't let it creep in. Don't you understand? I work with the youth, so I'm very sensitive to this. I'm very aware of this. It's creeping in. It's trying so hard. It's trying to creep in. The Lord is trying to tell us, trying to remind us, stay in line. Don't get out of line. Don't get out of step. Don't follow the things of this world. Don't let Satan's system push you away from God's image, from God's expectation. Don't let Satan's, his plans push you away from where you need to be. Take you away from the tie post. Take you away from what you've already learned. What benefit can I be to you tonight? None. But God speaking through me can help you. God speaking through me can tell you something that could change everything. I'm going to tell you right now that there is power in prayer. He hears your prayer. You know there's people outside of the ark tonight. You know that prayer can bring them back. I saw a young girl who cut her hair, put on pants, started posting things about the rock and roll music she was listening to. And it broke my heart because she was just a young person. I really felt like had a heart for the Lord, and I couldn't understand what was happening to her. I couldn't believe what I was seeing with my eyes. And I just said, you know what, Lord? This cannot happen. I refuse to let this happen. Take me, but bring her back. We prayed, and God turned her heart, and she's back. And she's one of the strongest members of our youth group. One of the godliest, one of the most prayerful, one of the most solid and dependable ones. I'm telling you, the last day is coming, and it's coming soon. But I'm also telling you, as the body of Christ on earth, the ones who are conformed to his image, the mighty army, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can show them an image that they know not. We can show them an image of love, of integrity, of holiness. Without being condescending or argumentative or entering into debates, we can show them what it is. A man stood out there right at that back porch the other night and told me that one of the things people said about Brother Branham is that you couldn't tell if somebody was his enemy or not because he treated everybody exactly the same. He treated everybody exactly the same. Whose image was he conformed to? Whose image was that man conformed to? What kind of an example was he for us? What kind of example are we supposed to be to those outside? Those who are no longer listening to the voice of the prophet. Those who no longer believe the words of the prophet. Who have become weary. Who have become tired. Who have just gotten sick of waiting. Who have been influenced by Satan. Who have been drug out into the darkness. Who are in a miry pit. Who are lost and undone. Without this gospel. Without Christ. They're going to go to hell. What are we to be to them? When he told me that. When he said that. Nobody could tell who Brother Branham's enemies were because he treated everybody the same. I felt like I just shrunk down to about 1 inch. I said, Lord God, he didn't know it. He didn't know it. My heart broke as soon as he said it. I said, Lord, could somebody say that of me? Could they say that of me? Who am I? Who are you? This is special meetings. If you really wanted special meetings, brother, you should have preached them. This is special meetings, but there's a reason. There's a reason. Let's make it special. Let's make it special. Let's commit. Let's commit. This should not just be one more church service. This should not just be a group of people going, well, let me see, did he do good or not? Am I gonna say that Brother West did a good job, or Brother Siler did a good job, or Brother Nathan did a good job, in these meetings, or do I think they did all right? I'm gonna get my checklist out. Well, Brother West, he's ignorant and unlearned. Definitely check. Ignorant and unlearned. Brother Siler, you wanna join me, buddy? He's ignorant and unlearned. How about you, Brother Nathan? You ignorant and unlearned?
Homeschool, brother.
Okay, yeah, there you go. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want you to go home. And when you look in the mirror, I want you to say, I've been with Jesus. Better yet, I want the people who know you. I want the people to know you. When they walk past and they catch your eye, I want them to go, he's been with Jesus. This man's been with Jesus. You know what, brother? As your brother, I believe you have been with Jesus. You know why? Because you pulled my guts out. You and a whole bunch of other people when I was preaching. Didn't condemn me, but reached out to the Lord. Brother Nathan, this is the truth, brother, and I mean this with all my heart. I've seen a sensitivity and a kindness and a respect from you that I've only seen in a very few people in my life. I've seen a love for the people that Brother Branham would have been proud of, but better yet, even than that, the Lord Jesus Christ would be proud of that. I can say that of this congregation. I honestly can. I can say that of my congregation at home. I can say that of the young people that I preach to at Happy Valley. I see the living Christ, the bride, God in flesh walking among us again. I see it. I witness it. I'm a witness. I'm giving my testimony as a witness in the court between the accuser and the Christ. There's an altar here, not just this one. There's an altar here in our hearts, in this temple that we walk around in. And the devil has been lying, and we've been listening. He's been saying, you can pray for them, but they're not going to come back, brother. You can pray for them, but they don't care no more. They're too far gone. They've gone too far. They're not going to turn around. He tells you, they don't care. They're not listening. He's telling you they want entertainment, not the gospel. He's a liar.
Amen.
People need this gospel. This gospel works. This gospel's real. This gospel turns around broken lives. This gospel gives sight to the blind. Bride, I'm here to tell you right now. I'm bringing a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. Knock the scales off your eyes. Let me bring to your remembrance that the blind are receiving their sight.
Amen.
The demon-possessed are being delivered.
Yes.
Let me bring to your remembrance that the sick are being healed.
Yes.
The lame are starting to walk. Those who claim to be Christians and never really seem to act like one are starting to walk straight. The lame are beginning to walk. The deaf, those who you thought you were preaching to in vain, brother, they're starting to hear.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is here.
Yes.
Amen. This gospel is alive and well.
Amen.
Musicians, come. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. That sense of dread is going to sweep over this country when the Lord comes and receives his bride, and they realize it. It's going to be like the raindrops hitting the face of the unbelievers in Noah's day. They're going to scream. They're going to fall to their knees. They're going to remember every single word that was preached to them that they rejected. They're going to remember every stupid argument where they stood on the wrong side and fought Satan's battle for him. They're going to remember it's all going to come back to them just like it did those victims of the flood. Just like it did those people in Sodom who took their way over God's way. Who took their filth over God's righteousness. It's going to come back all at once. But there's still some that can be saved. And I'm going to tell you right now, at such a late hour, only the plea of the bride herself is going to bring them mercy. And there's only a few left to bring in. It's up to the bride. It's up to the bride. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, your word is everything. It's our very heartbeat, Lord. Lord, there's people who came in here tonight with loved ones who are not here with them. There's people who came here tonight, Lord, who feel all alone following you in this gospel. They're not sad for following you, but they're sad for those who don't come with them. Lord, we have family members, friends, co-workers. We have people out in this world, Lord, who need you. And they don't realize that this gospel is the truth and that it works, that it can change their life, that it can bring healing to their scarred souls and spirits. Lord, right now we cry out for them in this late hour that their eyes be opened, because you're a God who opens eyes. You're a God who wipes away blindness and brings insight and understanding and revelation. Lord, I thank you for this work that's being done here, and I ask that you bless it. I know that you already are. I ask you to bless each and every saint, Lord. It's under the sound of my voice tonight. Lord, they came here expecting. Lord, I pray that you used me in some way to help. But Lord, more than anything, we say your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord. Come quickly. Come quickly, because we want to go home. The darkness of this age is coming against your bride, Lord. The squeeze is on. We're not all the way in the corner yet, but it's getting close. Father, we need you now more than ever. Keep us awake. Don't let the scales form. Don't let us become too weary and too tired and well-doing, Lord. But help us to be vigilant and filled with your Spirit, Lord. Help us to be the mighty army, Lord, that you talk about in your scriptures, that you talk about through your prophet, Lord. Lord, we love you and we trust you. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Nathan. Come on forward. I turn the service over to you. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord tonight, what you heard. Amen. As Brother West was preaching there, I was just thinking about those sons of Noah and how maybe once it was all said and done, years had gone by, maybe before they started to go different geographic locations, they could sit there and talk about the experience that they had and thinking of those that maybe Shem turned to Japheth and say, "My, you remember Sister so-and-so, we could hear her beating on the ark outside. We could hear this one and that one trying to get in the door, but we hadn't shut the door. It was God that had shut the door." Maybe they could talk of God's grace, how that it wasn't even their righteousness that saved them, but it was because they had a godly father, that his righteousness, he had applied the token over his home. Maybe one of them could turn to the other and say, "Oh my, I think of it so many times. Why us? Why?" It could have been another family. It could have been somebody else. I think of all those that we knew. Maybe they could say, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known?" Is that how you feel about it tonight? Oh, tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I could try to repay all I've taken from you. Oh, and maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. If the services this weekend have just really stirred something inside of your heart, maybe there's been things you've been going through. Maybe the enemy's tried to fight you. Maybe he's tried to lie to you. Maybe he's tried to rob you of the blessings that God's given to you. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart. I know Brother West said it. I know it's true. You can have an altar right there in your seat. You can have an altar there in your heart. But maybe you've never really fully committed and made him Lord of everything in your life. Maybe he's been your Savior. Maybe he's been your friend. But maybe you've never truly allowed him to be full Lord, to have complete control of your desires, of your thoughts, of your decisions. Why don't you come down to the altar tonight? Just commit it to him. Say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I can't do it on my own anymore. I've tried and I've tried. There's something about it I need more of you. Maybe you've already made a commitment to God, but maybe just the things in your life, the busyness, the distractions, the stress of life has begun to pull you away. Maybe you'd like to come down and say, Lord, I just want to rededicate my heart to you tonight. I not turn over a leaf, but I just want to start fresh with just, Lord, something in my heart pulling me that I need to make a decision. I need to do something. Oh my, the altar's open tonight. If you need prayer, the brothers will pray with you. You just need to seek God. Maybe there's something specific in your life that you have a need for. Oh, don't let him pass you by tonight. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to.
did I ever do to deserve even one of these pleasures I've known? Oh, tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or all the kindness you've shown? Oh, Lord, help. Oh, be sincere tonight. Be honest with yourself tonight. Oh, His presence is here tonight. Don't be ashamed tonight. Oh, you feel His presence here. Oh, and now that I know how I feel, You're so, help me, Jesus. Oh, Father God, may You just be with us tonight. Lord, may Your presence just surround about us, Father. Lord, if there's little things in our life, Lord, that's kept away our victory, Lord, if it's robbed us of our joy, Lord, if it's caused any schism between ourself and You, that relationship that we should have with You, Lord, if we in our selfishness have held back things that we know that You should be Lord over, oh, help us tonight. Lord, we want You to be Lord of our time. We want You to be Lord of our pride. We want You to be Lord of everything that we have, Lord, of our finances, Lord, of our friendships, of our relationships, Lord. We want You to be Lord of it all. We want You to be Lord of our thoughts, Lord of our desires, Lord of our goals and our dreams, our aspirations, Father. Lord, we want You to be Lord and take complete control. Father, may You just move on the scene tonight. Oh, there's needs among Your people, Father. But help us just to submit ourselves to You. Help us to surrender ourselves to You, Father, for the needs that we have, Father. All this human clay is weak so many times, Father. Oh, we're a needy people, Father. Lord, we're broken human clay, but may You take us back to the potter's house tonight. May You just begin to remold us. May You begin to remake us. May You form us into Your image, Father. Lord, may we not be a representation of what's popular or, Lord, what's in style, but may we be a representation of You. Oh, Father God, be with us tonight. Oh, if you'll be honest with yourself, you know there's more that should be down here tonight. Oh, why don't you be honest with Him tonight? Oh, I'm wasted. It's so, help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Yes, Father. Oh, and now that I know that I'm needed, it's so, help me, Jesus. My soul's in Your hands. Oh, I was nearing despair when He came to me there, and He told me that I could be free. Oh, then He lifted my feet. He gave me glory complete. That's when He His hand for me. Glory to God. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me. Thank You, Jesus. You had to reach way down for me. Oh, I was lost and undone without from the head. heavenly joys, they never cease. Oh Lord, I give all my life to Thee. Lord God, my faith, all my hate, all bread with Thee. Lord, I may stand, for You reached down Your hand for me. Oh, when You reached down Your hand, oh, thank You, Father. Help me sing that verse again. Oh, since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joys never cease. Oh, Lord, I give all my life to Thee. Just guide my feet, hold my hand, pray with Thee. Lord, I may stand. Thank You, Father. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me, He had to reach. Or His Son, but He reached down His hand for me. Just play that softly. Brother David told me that just before service, he received a text that Sister Margie Longoria, Brother Homer's wife, had, they think she may have had a heart attack or something and had to be rushed to the hospital. Let's just join in prayer together while the presence of God is here and His Spirit moving. Let's just join in prayer and agree together for our sister. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Satan has tried to attack our sister. All but Father, we join together and we agree together for this situation. Lord, we believe, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit is able to go to her just now. Lord, that You're not confined to a building or a specific person or group of people, but Lord, that You're omnipresent and omniscient, Father. Lord, I just ask that Your Spirit would go to her just now. Lord, may the doctors even have to testify, Lord, of the healing of our sister. May You just begin to restore health to her body. Lord, we believe tonight as a group of believers, Lord, that it's a finished work at Calvary. And we accept what You did for Sister Margie 2,000 years ago when You took our stripes for us. Lord, so that we could be healed, so that we could be saved, we accept it tonight as a finished work for our sister, Lord. May a testimony come from it. Thank You, Father God. Jesus Christ's name. Thank You, Father. Oh, when He reached way down. Yes, Lord. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. But then He reached down His hand for me. I know Brother Furman sang it earlier, but let's just stand and sing this. Oh, Papa God, Lord, You saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me. Lord, You touched my heart, You changed my soul. Now I know I need, yes, Lord, Papa God. Oh, aren't you thankful for a father like that? Oh, Papa God. You say,
together with all our hearts. Oh, Papa God, Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Lord, you have cleansed. You made me whole. Oh, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. Oh, how we need you tonight, Father. Oh, let's sing it again.
Incorruption, we shall be like him. So-
any day now we'll be going home. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for your presence, Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. We worship you. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for deliverance in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for peace and joy. Lord, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of insanity that the world around us lives in, Lord, yet you can come in and give peace. You can give joy. Lord, that passes understanding. People can look at us and wonder, how can they go through trials like they do and not lose their mind? It's because I know the joy giver. I know the peace giver. I have a refuge in the time of storm. I have a cleft in the rock that I can turn to. Oh, Father, thank you tonight. Lord, thank you for being our hiding place. Thank you for being our shelter from the storm. Lord, thank you for being someone we can turn to when we can't turn to anybody else. Oh, Father, I feel your presence here tonight, Lord. I don't know what to say or what to do, but just to worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jehovah. Oh, we thank you tonight, Father. Oh, Lord, to be in your presence. Oh, my. I can't think of anything, Lord, that I would trade, that I would do, any amount of miles that I wouldn't drive or any lengths that I would go to, Lord, just to be able to spend a little time in your presence like this. Help us not to take it for granted, Lord. Oh, Lord, your prophet taught us that one day we won't be able to have meetings like this. Help us not to take it for granted, Lord. Help us just to bask in your presence, Lord. Lord, we give you preeminence. We give you control. We give you everything that we are tonight, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, let's just worship him for a little while together. He's here. His presence is here. If you need deliverance, he's here. If you need healing tonight, he's here. Whatever you have need of. Maybe you've been struggling with something, he's here tonight. You don't have to take it with you when you go home. Why don't you leave the struggle behind? Why don't you leave the temptation behind? Why don't you leave the addiction behind? Why don't you leave the worry and the fear and the negativity and whatever Satan's been trying to lie to you about? Maybe he's been trying to depress you. Maybe he's been trying to give you thoughts of taking your own life or leaving the message or leaving your family. Whatever thoughts he's been trying to press down on you. Why don't you leave it all here tonight? Just leave it at the altar. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Oh, help me sing this tonight. Oh, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who is watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of. Aren't you thankful that you know him tonight? I know the maker of the rain. Oh, I know he can calm a storm. Oh, yes.
think about it tonight. Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights among the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm may drive us from the heights. It can bring us low, but it won't. Sing it once without the music. Sing. Oh, I love you, Lord.
Sing. Oh, I love you, Lord. Sing.
Let's sing it that way again.
Singing,
oh yes,
Father. I love you, Lord. Singing,
yes, Jesus.
I love you, Lord. Singing.
Oh, We're in the presence of Jehovah God Almighty. Our Prince, oh, He's speaking to hearts tonight. He's moving amongst His people. Troubles vanish and hearts are mended. Yes. Let's sing it again together tonight. Oh, God bless you tonight. It's been good to be in His presence. So good to have His presence here. Oh, we appreciate the services this weekend. Appreciate Brother Wes, Brother David coming our way. Appreciate Jesus stopping by our way. Amen. God bless you. We're going to sing it again, but you can be dismissed if you'd like. I believe the brothers left a note, said there's an issue, I guess, with the restrooms, so unfortunately they are out of service, but God bless you. Service Wednesday night, 7:30. You can stay and pray as long as you'd like, or stay and worship the Lord as long as you'd like, but I know there may be some that have to go, so I'm going to go ahead and dismiss for those that need to go at this time. Let's just sing it again together. We're thank you.
Thank you. set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me, and you
thank you.
Oh, we came to hear your word, and with each line and phrase, Lord, you were calling me to live on a higher plane. Now there's a deep, and it calls to the deep, just like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I've reached the goal, 'cause I feel the pull.
Help me sing it tonight.
Please come.